Going to be reading from 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 17. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul, formerly Saul, was quite the sinner. And he's telling Timothy about it and telling him that him being quite the sinner was still saved by Christ. And that's how graceful God and Christ are, that no matter who we are, they are willing to forgive us and save us. We're going to talk some about what it is to be Methodist this morning, kind of give everybody a little reminder of who we are and how we are. And start off, I'm going to read from the hymnal, page 38, part of the baptismal covenant. You will recall when you were baptized and joined the church, the congregation responds, "We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." We don't hear that very often because we seem to have a lack of professions of faith and baptisms, which is a sad situation. And I pray that we could fix that, get more people to come to God. And that's really the crux of being a Methodist. We are to make disciples of those in the community. We are disciples, and by a part of our discipleship are to make disciples of others, that Jesus can forgive all. And people that we talk to need to understand that. Back in the early 1800s, when Methodism was starting out in the United States, somebody at a camp meeting made a little ditty. It says, "I'm a Methodist, 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 eating Methodist pie. I'm a Methodist, 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 Methodist till I die." And I think you would agree that most people in the Methodist faith are Methodist for life. They're not prone to jump to another denomination or anything like that. But now, in the 21st century, we do have some issues with commitment in the church. People that may be members of this church that don't attend anymore, there's no commitment there. But they promised before the congregation and before God that they would be present in the church by your prayers, by your presence, but they're not here. And that's very important in Methodism. You need to commit to it. Methodism is a little bit different than a lot of religions. It's, I guess, closer to Catholicism than anything. That's where its roots came from. But we're not like Baptists or Presbyterians or Lutherans or Church of Christ or any of those. We are unique in who we are. And that's important to us, that we are unique in who we are. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, and John Wesley didn't see it as a denomination. He didn't see it as a church. He saw it as a movement. It was a group of people, not necessarily a church, if you will. He said, think and let think. And we have this in the greater United Methodist Church, a ministry called Igniting Ministry, which talks about open hearts, open minds, and open doors. And that's a part of think and let think. We should be purposeful in what we do. We should think about who we are and what we are supposed to be doing, what is expected of us. It's essential that we understand that. It's essential that we understand the unity in that we believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And one of the reasons that I had you do the Nicene Creed as opposed to the Apostles' Creed today is because it gets a little bit more specific about what we believe. It was written originally by the Council at Nicaea and then refined in the Council of Constantinople. And it was made so that we understood that there is a Father and Son and Holy Spirit, but they are all connected together as one, because there was some controversy over that. And we believe that as Methodists. We believe also in Christ the Son our Lord. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the universal Catholic little c church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Those are all beliefs to us as Methodists. And I would hope those are beliefs of other denominations as well. I'm not privy to how they worship, so I don't know. We have to believe in those things, not because we've got it all figured out, but because it helps us conquer doubt. And we all have a little bit of doubt. And we believe because God's prevenient grace, something unique to Methodists, wooed us to believe. John Wesley believed that prevenient grace meant that God came to you and drew you to Him before you even knew you needed Him. That's prevenient grace. He called you to Him. And that's essential to our unity. We are called to be Methodists. And then there's some non-essential things that have to do with think and let think. It's liberty. And it's about how we do things. And one thing is the baptismal that's underneath us here. Is it important that we fully immerse you in baptism, or is it okay to sprinkle your head with water? Methodists believe it's okay to sprinkle your head with water because it's not so much how it's done, it is what it represents. Baptism is about how you feel. It's about giving yourself to Christ. It is ceremonial in a way that you are showing others that I am now a child of God. I am now a part of the body of Christ. And we take a lot of flack for that. Other denominations are like, no. You have to be fully immersed or you're not baptized. And I know a joke about that between the Methodists and the Baptists, but I won't tell you that today. If you ever want to hear it, I'll tell you all about it, why the head's important. So we have some different philosophies than other denominations. Another one is communion. We do communion religiously every first Sunday of the month. And other churches don't believe in that. They believe communion should be a special thing, and a lot of churches only do it maybe once a year. But we do it not because it's a routine ritual thing. We do it because it is important to us to be reminded of the sacrifice Christ made for us to save us. And how we have that assurance that He saved us and forgives us of any of those little mistakes, as John Wesley put it, that we make in life. Those mistakes that we are to learn from and move forward in life towards sanctification. Think and let think. We have free will. But God wants us to use that free will for Him. And I would hope we would choose that in that free will. Most of us know the story of John Wesley and how he felt the warming of his heart at Aldersgate. It was a Wednesday. It was a Bible study group, May 24th, 1738. Prior to that, Wesley had been a priest for quite a few years, but never felt like he was worthy. He never really felt the call. He did it because his dad was a minister, and it was one of those things that the family did, and that's kind of the way he looked at it. But now in Aldersgate, this Bible study meeting that he really didn't want to go to, the leader of this group, Wesley, puts it this way. He says, about a quarter before nine, while the leader was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ and Christ alone for my salvation. And an assurance was given me that He had taken away my sins, and no longer was I a servant. I became a son. And we know that is the Aldersgate experience. And I hope that all of us have had our own Aldersgate experience as Christians and as Methodists. Because that's important. It's about what's in your heart. It's about the Holy Spirit coming inside you and making you the person that you are. And it is a very transforming and heartwarming experience when you give yourself to Christ. Family Circus cartoon, I don't think it's in papers anymore, but years ago the Family Circus cartoon showed a family worshiping in church, sitting in the front row. They're standing and singing America's favorite hymn, Amazing Grace. And little Dolly looks up at her mother and says, exactly what did Grace do that made her so amazing? And we laugh at that, but Amazing Grace really puts everything in there that we believe as Christians. God gave us that grace. Grace took away my fears. Grace gave me strength. And that's what that's all about. And that's where we are. Grace hears our cry, forgives our sins, relieves our fears, sets us free, and leads us home. Paul says to Timothy in the scriptures that I read, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out on me abundantly. I, the worst of sinners, was shown mercy, displaying Christ's unlimited patience as an example of one who believes. When grace fills a place, fellowship of concern is sure to follow. When grace fills this church, we want to be a part of this greater body. We want to belong. Sinners are welcome. Most people don't get that. Most people think that, well, I have to be a good person before I can walk through that door. No. And Methodists understand that. And Methodists try to make others understand that. Church is not a place for saints. Church is a place, it's a hospital for sinners. Sinners are welcome. And that is a big thing with Methodists. We go out and make disciples. We tell people, okay, so you're a sinner. God can change you. God has the grace and the power to make you a disciple of Christ. And you are welcome to join this group of people that are disciples of Christ. And we will help you become a disciple. We will lead you through what we've learned through the years, what God has taught us, what God tells us to teach you. We are Methodists because We have that deeply warmed heart. And we've experienced religion. And we should want to share that with others, no matter who you are. We also have to believe that it's the holiness of our heart that helps us live out our lives and helps us to do the works of mercy around the world. The Methodist Church is probably the most giving, loving church as far as going out into the world and helping others. We're in Africa and the Philippines and Korea and Taiwan and almost everywhere you can think of in the world, there is a group of Methodists bringing people to Christ. It's a worldwide thing. John Wesley used to look at people and say, "Are you not happy?" And then he would tell them, "You're not holy. If you are not holy, you can't be happy." Happiness is a part of holiness. It's something that goes together. He would ask people that all the time. "Are you not happy? Then you are not holy." God brings us to happiness. And it's not just a word. Those of us that have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren are quite familiar with the golden arches and the Happy Meal. And that's what the children want, is the Happy Meal. Whether they associate that with happiness or not, don't know. But I guarantee you, if you were to tell them, "How about if I just buy you some chicken McNuggets and some French fries and I'll buy you a good toy on the way home," the kids will look at you and go, "Uh-uh, I want a Happy Meal." Happiness is not just a word. Happiness is about holiness. Whenever I've married a couple, I always sit down and talk to them before I marry them and ask them different questions, go through the ceremony and make them understand that what this is all about. You're not just promising each other, you are promising God. And you ask them, "Okay, so what makes you want to spend the rest of your life with this person?" And more often than not, you get, "Oh, well, he makes me so happy. He makes me so very, very happy." Well, that's all well and good, but that should not be the hinge to your happiness. Happiness should come from within. You shouldn't rely on someone else to provide that for you. "Oh, I'm glad that people are finding happiness in their spouses, and I think that's terrific." But that's not the key to happiness. Ever since World War II, we have become a more affluent society. We go more, we do more, we see more than ever before. We have better financial futures, but we're not happy. And if you ask people on the street, "Are you happy?" and they say no, then it's because you're not holy, because you need something in your heart. And we are here to provide that for them. They've done research and determined that 82% of Bible readers feel at peace with themselves. 58% of those who have never read a Bible don't. In fact, it's a fact that those who worship regularly live longer, healthier lives than those who have never darkened the doors of a church. So you're not just helping these people spiritually by making them disciples or talking to them and making them want to be closer to God, come to church. You're also helping them live longer, healthier lives. And I know we're not the only game in town. There's Baptist Church right up the street. But we have a uniqueness about Methodism. Even though we are a ritualistic type of worship, we have a lot to offer people. And we need to be doing that. We need to be talking to people about God and Christ And I know it's not a popular thing to do these days, but we should be doing that. And I know that as Christians, we kind of stand out, but we are supposed to stand out. We are supposed to be different. We aren't supposed to conform to the rest of the world. John Wesley used to say, "Do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you possibly can." And that is a Methodist tradition. We do for others. We serve the poor. We visit prisons. We work for peace and justice. We practice good health. We are Methodists because we have holiness of our heart in our lives. We're also Methodists because we have a vital connection. Methodists are somewhat unique in the way we are. We are all connected together. All the Methodist churches are in some way connected. Methodists do things different than, say, Baptists, for example. And I'm not picking on Baptists, but Baptists, for example, they interview and hire their own ministers. Somebody that they like, somebody they're comfortable with. In the Methodist Church, ministers are appointed. They're not hired, per se. There's a connection there. And as a connectional system, if this church has a problem, we can talk to another church or another group of people within the church that can maybe help us with that problem. We're connected together. We are one church. And we need to remember that. And that it's about the connection. It's about discipleship. In 1973, a seminary student by the name of Bill Hybels and some friends started a new church in Chicago for the unchurched. They call it Willow Creek Community Church, and it is now one of the largest churches in the world. But if you were to talk to Mr. Hybels these days, you'd find out that he spends a lot less time ministering than he does promoting the church. It's become about the church, not about the ministry. We need to remember that as Methodists, it's about the ministry, not the church. It's about discipleship. And it's about bringing people to the kingdom of God. And if you talk to somebody and you convince them they need to find Christ, that they need to seek Him out, I don't care if they walk through that front door or walk through the front door of the Baptist church, as long as they're in church with other people that are Christian. That's what's important. It's not about filling the pews. It's about making disciples. And Lord willing, as you make disciples, you will fill the pews. It's not about the church. It's about the people and the ministry. And one great thing that Methodists do, I mentioned we're in countries around the world, is we help in places that have AIDS epidemics, for example. We gather up orphans. We take them home, take care of them, make families for them. We provide food around the world, shelter. We are good at that. You remember back on 9/11, when the tragedy struck in New York City, a few days after that, churches were packed because people wanted to know what was going on. They wanted comfort. They wanted to be with other people. But for some reason, shortly thereafter, it started to fade back out. Did we fail as Christians in getting those people to remain? You have to ask yourself that. Methodists believe in the assurance of salvation. Blessed assurance. Romans 8:16 says the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Wesley's last words on his deathbed were, best of all, God is with us. He believed that, and we have to believe that. No matter what we do, God is with us, and that is essential to being a Methodist. The assurance of salvation. God will see you through whatever it is you're going through. There is no fear in loving God. Perfect love casts out all fear. You don't have to live in guilt or fear. You've got God with you. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. You can live in that faith as a child of God. And that is a Methodist belief. What makes a church great is not its building or its steeple. What makes a church great is its people. People join together as the body of Christ, bringing hope and healing to each other and to a hurting world. It's not the building. If you go back and look at the original definition of church, when the church was in its infancy, church was a group of people, and they met in somebody's home. Church wasn't a building. Church was the people. And that's an important belief in the Methodist denomination. We are church people. We belong together. We shore each other up. We celebrate with each other. We share when we have concerns. Americans today tend to be more religious than ever, but they're not going to church. I'm sure all of you have talked to people a time or two that say, well, yeah, I believe in God, but I don't believe in organized religion. Well, it doesn't work that way. If you truly believe in God, you will want to be with other Christian people. You want to belong. You want to be a part of something. I mean, it's okay to practice your faith privately at times. Go into the closet and pray, the Bible tells us. But you have to belong to other Christian people. You have to be a part of the body of Christ. Quite a few years ago, Barbara Streisand sang a song called "People Who Need People Are the Luckiest People in the World." And that's Christianity. We need each other. We should need to get other people to find Christ. That should be a nagging desire within us as Christians, as Methodists. We should want to see other people get saved. We should want to see other people in church. Methodism is unique. Methodism's big philosophy is go out and make disciples of others. And that's what we need to do. Amen.